When I was first asked about what to talk about, I was pretty confident I knew the subject. I think the first time that I was asked to preach here, I was going to talk on that subject, and I was like, oh, I had it ready to go. But as I was traveling, I was invited to do some speaking in the fall about singing. And I had been talking with one of my friends who had invited me, and so I had spent a good amount of time in studying that, and I said, well, I've spent most of my time on this trip studying this, so I might as well share some of the ideas and thoughts that I had with you. And so one day you'll hear the sermon that I had thought I might preach to you. I really enjoyed it. It's one of my favorites, but for today, we're gonna talk about some singing. If you haven't noticed, I appreciate Nathan for leading the songs to help us prepare our minds for it. The thing I love about singing is that it's a part of a worship where everyone can actively participate. I find it very uplifting and encouraging when you hear everyone joining in together, when we share that, we blend our voices. However, there are times, I'm sure we've all been there, where, for a lack of a better term, the singing leaves a bad taste in our mouth. Where we've been, maybe we visited somewhere, or we had a lot of people missing, and we say, man, the singing wasn't as encouraging, uplifting as it normally is, or man, I did not get what I thought out of it. So for the longest time, I've been asking myself the question, how do we identify, define, and execute good singing so that it could always be encouraging and uplifting rather than not? And so that's where the study kind of started, and that question, and looking in the scriptures and saying, where, how is this something? This is a part of our worship. Sometimes it's really nice, sometimes it's not as nice. What are some things we can do to help improve it so that we can edify one another and we can be encouraged from our singing, regardless of the situation? And so that's where we go, and I'm going to talk to you today about 3 points to help us get there. And I titled the sermon, and it's from Hebrews 13, 10 through 16. We want to view singing as a sacrifice of praise. So today, I'm going to give you 3 points to help us change our mindset or maybe look at singing in a particular way that can help us start the path of, are we doing this the way that God wants us to? The first point is that singing is a form of sacrifice. Next, we're going to look at what makes a good sacrifice. And then finally, singing is a skill to be improved. So as a sacrifice of praise, we're thinking about singing is a form of sacrifice. If you would, please turn to the scripture reading we had earlier today. We're going to reread that again. Hebrews 13, 10 through 16, and all my verses are going to be from the ESV. We have an altar which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go out to him outside the camp and bear reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Here we see the Hebrew writer says we have this sacrifice of praise. And what the sacrifice that we're offering is the fruit of our lips. And I think that the first thing we need to do is we say, if we're going and we're sitting here and we're gathering together in song, we have to understand that that is offering a sacrifice to God. Now let's think about what that word means to us, if we are offering a sacrifice. It does have many implications. We can think about the book of Leviticus and how particular and important sacrifices were treated. And we think about what animals were offered. and the type of animals, which one was acceptable to be chosen. We can also think about the fact that there were times that the prophets called out Israel for not sacrificing their best. And the prophets had oftentimes criticized Israel for the way that they approached sacrifices. We can also look at just a few pages back, Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Abel offered a better sacrifice. I know that we could take the time to, you know, say, why was Abel's sacrifice better than Cain's? We could, and that's, you know, that's a story, that's a sermon for another day. But we can also just take this verse and say, okay, we understand that there are sacrifices that are better than others. And through faith, Abel did better. So then we have to look at ourselves and say, if we're seeing that the Hebrew writer here is treating this thing as a sacrifice, we need to approach our singing and say, is my singing a more acceptable sacrifice? Or do I treat my singing as just good enough? Well, then we have to ask ourselves the next question. What makes a good sacrifice? And I think, you know, when we're thinking about singing, the best way for us to say what makes a good sacrifice is the first thing we need to do is we need to open up God's Word and see what the Bible says about singing. So the first verse we have here is Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then we have Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through the Father through him. And one last one here. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. So what makes a good sacrifice? When we read these verses, I do see a couple key themes that appear. Giving thanks to God, being done to build up, and singing with our heart. Giving thanks to God. We have, you know, this first one, we know we need to be sincere with what we're with our thanks. I think also, you know, we here at Knollwood have, you know, had the opportunity to spend a good amount of time talking about prayer and thanksgiving recently. And so that's not maybe a point we need to dig in today. I'd encourage you to think back and look at your notes from the Bible class. But I encourage you to take some of the lessons that we have studied in prayer and apply them to when we sing. I think there are some lessons that are very much similar and transferable for how we approach our prayer to how we approach singing when we think about our thoughtfulness and our mindfulness. On our attitude and how we approach it. Because there are so many similarities and there's so many times that we're going to be singing a psalm that was a prayer written by David. There are so many times that there is a song that is someone who has poured out themselves, who has written the words that they may have prayed. And we need to recognize that, identify that and recognize that. So take that time, think about those things, think about giving thanks to God and the mindset we have from that, and treat it as seriously as we treat prayer. The next two I can kind of lump together. Well, and I talked about how, you know, it is so exciting to hear everyone join together in song and how uplifting that can be. And in other times, it does fall flat. I would ask ourselves, if we do find ourselves just sitting in the pew, barely speaking along with the words, are we able to build up our other brother who can't hear us, even if they're right next to us? And if and when we're singing and we take this attitude of, you know, very passiveness, think about some of the songs we sing. We are confessing our faith. We are proclaiming Jesus is Lord. We are singing to one another to encourage each other, to keep going through difficult times, to rejoice. Why are we not doing so with boldness and excitement? Why are we not proudly proclaiming our faith in our singing? And the other thing is that at some point, we will not be able to do so as much as we could in the past. I know that I am not as old as some of the people out there, but I think of there's a line in the one of the hymns we sing, the new song, that says, I know someday when I am older grown, my voice will not be strong. There are many times that I've gone somewhere and someone has come up to me and said, I appreciate you singing out because I wish I could still do that. And there are some physical limitations we have to singing, but when we treat it as it doesn't matter if we try to or not, that day eventually is going to pass us by where we are not going to be able to anymore. And that's a sad day. I know that that's one of the things that, you know, when we talk about getting older, is one of the things I fear, is that I so much enjoy worshiping with one another and song and being able to contribute to that, and to be able to, and to one day maybe lose that ability is heartbreaking to me. And now some of you may be thinking, Jonathan, that's easy for you to say. You are already loud. You sing pretty well. I can't sing. I can't be loud. But that brings me to the third point this morning. Singing is a skill to be improved. And I want to talk about this, and I want to approach this in a direction that maybe we can not take this idea directly first starting with singing, but let's talk about it in some other facets of being a Christian. Think about the first time you taught a Bible class. Think about the first time you gave a short talk. Think about the first time you led a prayer. And then think about where you are now. Have you improved? The first time that you taught a class, did you realize, oh man, I need to be more prepared than I was before? So I need to go study more. I need to go do the work to be prepared to go and do that. Did you go up and when you're, you know, and this is one thing I find a little interesting. When I was much younger, you know, I could go up and I did not, you know, I was like, okay, I can lead the prayer. And I'd be like, oh, why are, you know, I noticed that, you know, someone maybe will bring up a note card or something, you know, to help you remember. I was like, oh, why would I do that? And then when you mature as a Christian, you realize, oh, There is so much weight that's to be involved with speaking in prayer. There's so much going on in your mind. It's not necessarily that you have a memory issue, but you want to make sure that this is the time to address God. We need to take it seriously. And bringing up a note card helps you, you know, you don't have to remember. You can focus on other things and then be able to read the note card. But you're doing something to help you prepare for going and doing that thing. I know when, you know, I was younger and teaching a Bible class, I did have to learn that, oh, I need to learn how to study more. I need to learn how to understand what the Bible means more. Why should singing be any different? If we come together, we're commanded to do so. We know we're supposed to do it when we come together into worship. We know that, you know, we look at that verse in Hebrews, we say, okay, we are offering a sacrifice. Why would we not want to grow in the thing that we are commanded to do? I don't think we would, you know, be okay and say, okay, well, you know, someone wants to go and lead a talk and they never, you know, they don't treat it seriously. They don't ever work on their craft. We don't just keep inviting them to come back and do it again and again, right? We say, well, you need to work. You need to improve. What about us when we think about our singing? But I do want to be very clear that I'm not saying that we all need to, you know, be able to read music. We all don't need to be professional singers. We don't need to sound like a professional choir. Reading music is not what makes your praise acceptable to God. I'm not saying that we should be self-conscious that we're not good enough. The point is not that we're offering up a performance. The point is that we're offering up a sacrifice. And that if I am offering up a sacrifice to God, I should not be content with a carelessness attitude that says, well, that was good enough. God never deserves good enough. Because the other thing that strikes me there is that if we take the attitude, we have been commanded to sing and we're saying, well, what we do is good enough with one of God's commandments, what's going to stop us from doing that with others? We can happily see that there are commandments we don't ever want to say, well, it was good enough. Why is singing one that sometimes we find a trap there? So if I don't feel confident in singing, why would I not work on it? This is something, you know, that we have been commanded to do, but also, you know, we know that in eternity we're going to be also spending a lot of time doing that as well. So if we don't like it, we're going to have to start liking it. If I struggle to follow a song, why would I not try to improve? If I have a hard time finding the melody, the rhythm, you know, if I'm sitting there in the pew and I'm saying, you know, this is difficult for me, why would I not go home and listen to the songs, think about them, and be ready for the next time we come back together? We would do the same thing if we're thinking about preaching or teaching or if we're reading a scripture. We would go and say, okay, well, I want to do better on that next time. And then you could say, well, you know, I don't really struggle with those things, right? I'm a pretty good singer. And that's good. That's a blessing. That is a gift that has been blessed with you. Then now you have another step. Say, okay, well, I do know the melody. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, there might be someone in the group that isn't very confident. You singing out is going to help them feel confident with it. It's one of the most interesting things that, you know, I experienced in my time playing an instrument. And singing with people is that, you know, sometimes if you are not confident, but you're sitting next to someone who is confident, all of a sudden your confidence boosts up by a bit. You say, okay, they know what they're doing. If I follow along, we're going to be okay here. Maybe you do know how to read music. At that point, maybe you do, take the initiative and say, okay, well, maybe I should learn some of the other parts of the song. Because, you know, that one song leader always loves to lead "The Walls Came Tumbling Down." And we really only have one alto. And if they're not there, you know, the song's just not going to work the right way. And I think we need to treat this singing and this ability as what we see in Matthew 25 and verse 29. The more we're blessed with, the more talents that are given, the more that is expected to us. And in this aspect, right, that if we do have some innate talent for music, we should be doing it, you know, to help others, to help build up. And if we're struggling, that doesn't just leave us off the hook to not continue to do more. Another way to frame this, you know, that when I was thinking about this, is that historically, especially in this country, we have understood the importance of developing skills in means to help us worship and serve God better. We think about, you know, even the beginning of this country, you know, a lot of the education system had a large emphasis on reading and literacy because of the importance of being able to read the Bible. We want to train teachers, and we want to make sure that they're experienced and they have the learning, and we want them to gain skills because we want them to handle the word carefully. We talk about things that are not just scriptural, but also some things that we have learned through our studies of some of things like public speaking, because we want the people who are coming up here to lead to feel confident, to be confident, and not just express the word, but do so in a manner that is obtainable to all to hear it. Singing matters the same way. And I want us to understand that we should try to grow it just like we try to grow our prayer life, just as we try to grow our Bible study habits. As we grow as a Christian, this is one of the things we're commanded. Not because God only accepts trained voices. Not because the Western four-part harmony is the only way to sing praises. And yeah, that's probably going to be one of the topics for the series that I have to do. So maybe you'll get another one. Not because worship is a performance, but because God deserves more than I did just enough. He deserves more than someone standing there not participating. So a practical challenge maybe is that we need to learn the songs better. Maybe, you know, if we struggle with it, we need to sing more often than just on Sunday and Wednesday. We need to be listening to it. We need to be focusing on it. We need to be prepared when we come to sit down that we're going to worship. And there are some things you can do to help with that. You can listen to hymns, you know, during the week. If you're wanting to learn a part, you can sit near someone who's much stronger. When we think about singing with our heart, we should be boldly proclaiming it. We should be proud. We should be singing with thankfulness. We should be keeping in mind that we are singing to one another and to God. And I guess, you know, eventually you have to ask yourself, you know, how much skill or technical proficiency do we need? You know, like, okay, Jonathan, you've talked to me about how I need to get better. How much more do I need to get better? Right? Like, you've said we need to get better, but we don't need to be a professional performer, right? Well, I think that this is also answered by the idea of what is the goal, right? If this is a sacrifice, this is not a performance. And we're talking about the technical aspects of singing. The goal should be that you are comfortable coming together and singing a song, and you're not distracted by the music. You're not worried about, am I doing the right notes or the right rhythms? Your mind isn't thinking about the music in as much as you are thinking about the song and you're thinking about the words. Because eventually, you know, if you sing enough, you know the melody, you learn the melody, you can sing the melody. But there are words there. And if I'm so distracted by trying to get the music right, I can't think about the words. But we also find ourselves a trap. We say, well, I don't want to distract by the music. Well, I'm just not going to sing and I'm going to mouth the words along. Neither of those are right. Because then you're not building up one another. You're not actively participating. You're not going and singing to one another and hearing each other's voices blend here. So you need to do both. You need to be able to be confident enough to be able to participate and encourage, but also proficient enough that what your mind is focusing on is what we are saying, not how we're saying it. And I know that this is not a traditional lesson. And there's not exactly a great smooth transition into our custom of offering an invitation. But I do have one. The thoughts that I have here and the thoughts, you know, the discussions I was having in the study, it was all driven by the idea that, well, our singing is just good enough. You know, why do we have to do more? Why do we have to put in more effort for this thing? Well, it's because God commanded it. And like I kind of said before, if we have our mindset with singing, we can definitely find ourselves having that mindset with other commands. And maybe you haven't noticed that. But maybe you have, and you are noticing, I am saying, well, what I'm doing is good enough. And then eventually you realize, you know, you're sliding back. You're not progressing. You don't, you know, the idea is that we need to be constantly pushing forward towards the goal. We need to be striving for that. And maybe you haven't done a great job with that. Or maybe you realize, you know, you thought your life was good enough and you were doing enough, but you realize that to be saved requires believing, confessing, repenting, and being baptized, and you haven't done those things yet either. I'd encourage you this morning to think about that, and maybe you need to make a change in your life. Maybe you haven't taken all of God's commandments as seriously as you needed to, or you realize you need to start, you know, you need to start walking it with Christ. If there is any need this morning that we can help you with, please come forward as we stand and sing.